Now let's look at that.
Chris Fallon.
Yeah, you kind of lie low back here in the corner.
Me.
How are you thinking?
All right, hello everybody. So let's go ahead and call to order our last Faculty Senate meeting of the current Senate. Jane, could you please call roll?
Abramovich.
Here.
Alexia. Arendt. Bake.
Here.
Baker. Dean Watabi for Terry Baker. Bondopadhyay.
Yep.
Barbosa. Brett. What's that?
I can't hear you.
Oh. I'll try giving myself some volume here. Bret Hart. Brown. Anyone online for Stephen Brown? Cahill.
Here.
Davis.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
On audio. George Bettisworth.
Here.
Golux. Gustafson. Hardy. Healy. Henry.
Here.
Himmelblum.
Here.
Horsemond.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Johnston.
Here.
Jolie. Jones.
Here.
Larden. Lawler.
Here.
Mathis. McCackern.
Here.
Metzger. Meyer. Nadine. Newberry. Chung Sang. Radenbo. Rennes.
Here.
Reynolds. Short. Valentine.
Here.
Weber.
Here.
Winfrey. Here. Zhang. Anybody online who just called in?
Hi, yes, this is Leif Albertson. I'm an alternate for Steve Brown.
Oh, thank you, Leif.
Yep.
Anybody else online that needs to announce? Okay, thank you.
All right, then let's go ahead and start this, unfortunately, with some sad news. We lost one of our colleagues since our last meeting, and we're going to miss her deeply. Deborah Moses passed away, and we have a resolution that Jane will read for her, and then we'd like to do a moment of silence in her memory.
Whereas the UAF Faculty Senate mourns the loss of our colleague, Deborah Moses, Associate Professor of Developmental Mathematics. Her passing leaves us bereft of her wealth of experience, teaching, and insight. And whereas the UAF Faculty Senate wishes to express its sincere condolences and sympathy to the family and friends of Deborah Moses, and whereas the UAF Faculty Senate honors the contributions of Deborah Moses to the Faculty Senate and her service on the Curricular Affairs Committee and the Student Academic Development and Achievement Committee, and whereas the UAF Faculty Senate acknowledges, appreciates, and will miss the contributions of Deborah Moses to the State of Alaska, University of Alaska Fairbanks, the College of Rural and Community Development, and the Community and Technical College. Therefore, be it resolved that as a token of our respect and our desire to honor her memory, the Faculty Senate dedicates a moment of silence to our friend and colleague, Deborah Moses, as we reflect on the importance of our colleagues in the community of scholars in our lives.
Thank you all. And so moving on, do we have approval of the minutes for meeting 182? Anyone have any comments or changes? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Let's go ahead and move to adoption of the agenda. Anyone want to see any changes on the current tome? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. That takes us to status of Chancellor's Office actions. At the moment, we have no motions pending, and there were none approved. So that brings us to my remarks. It's been a busy time since we last saw you guys. The tobacco no hire policy that we had passed a motion on. Well, our friends at UAS liked our wording and went ahead and said, us too. And the folks in Anchorage also seemed to like what we were doing and are following in our footsteps. But we actually got a response from President Gamble in terms of having listened to what we had to say, and the memo is attached. So I want to say that he stated that he really appreciated our actions and our input, and was basically encouraging that he appreciates the fact that we took the time and effort to tell him what we thought. So compliments to all of you. The Complete College America, we have basically told Faculty Alliance that the motion that we had been working on was coming forward, that we're rejecting it, we're being positive, and Faculty Alliance will incorporate it with the information from the other MAUs if we decide to go ahead and bring everything forward as a package. The eLab Task Force, there's been requests that we change the implementation date. Southeast apparently advertises their courses 3 semesters in advance. So if we were to implement when we had originally said, which would have been fall in 2013, they've already started advertising for those classes, and if they didn't get them through the review in time, would potentially have to pull classes. So they were fairly okay with it, provided we change the implementation date. Anchorage has said that they will pick it up in fall. So stay tuned, but once again, we lead the way. The code of conduct, to put it mildly, backpedal, backpedal, backpedal. And as everyone saw the memo that went out, our input has been received. We do not need a code of conduct, and the president is dropping it. So if we want to come up with a set of core values from an academic point of view, he is receptive to hearing our ideas. And that's a discussion I will leave to next year's Senate. Then in terms of wintermester scheduling, there's been some challenge in terms of fitting wintermester in with the hard closures. And so this is going to be something we're looking at potentially forming a task force to really look at how do you do it. Because if you just do it on normal weekdays, and you back up from the beginning of the semester and when that is set to occur, you're either in the hard closure, if you just go by straight days, or you're looking at potentially doing weekends, et cetera. And that, of course, could have ramifications for building usage, heating, et cetera. And so we want to really look at what all the different angles on this are to see if we can make it an accommodation that works for everybody. The college impacted the most by this is CLA. You guys have the most wintermester courses. So be prepared. We're talking with your interim dean, and we're going to make sure that you guys are involved in the discussion. And then in terms of the electronic faculty activity reports, we've got that as an item later in the agenda. So we'll deal with that. SDI, the strategic directions, the listening sessions, July 23rd, some of us get sentenced to trying to start looking at how we're going to actually deal with the information. So there will be a meeting with President's Cabinet, Statewide Academic Council, and others, Terry McTaggart, to try to figure out what the next steps are and where we're going. Of course, then everybody saw Dermot Cole's article in terms of UAA being able to offer PhDs. This is a special case. It is the accreditation for the psychology, the agreement in statewide, and Susan and Dana can correct me if I'm wrong, is that we remain the PhD granting institution, but they will do professional doctorates. So when they talk about nursing, et cetera, those are professional doctorates. They will be allowed to pursue those. They will not be allowed to pursue the PhDs in the areas we already have. We will be the research PhD granting institution. So that's a lot of stuff. Any questions for me? Nope, then I'll hand it off to Jennifer Reynolds.
Can you hear me? Yes, all right. And I have just 3 information items for you all, just so that you're aware of these. Kathy and I represent the Faculty Senate on the Provost Planning and Budget Committee. This is the avenue by which the Faculty Senate has a voice in the university's budget. There are also four other faculty on that this year. There's a somewhat new process, but Kathy and I are the two from Faculty Senate. The next point is that I represent the Faculty Senate on the UAF Strategic Planning Steering Committee, and that most of the work of that committee will be during the summer. And then the third point is that normally the Faculty Senate President awards selection committee. This year, however, our Senate President was nominated for a UCLA award in public service, and so I sat on the committee instead. But in future years, you should assume that the Faculty Senate President is on that committee as one of five members, six members. It's a small number. Any questions for me? All right.
Okay, that takes us on to the Chancellor's remarks. Susan, is the Chancellor expected to join us today? All right, then we will skip over him briefly and go to the Provost's remarks. Susan?
Well, first I'd like to report on the results of the promotion and tenure and pre- and post-tenure review process. Those results in the form of a table have been given to Jane, and she'll put them with the minutes of this meeting, I assume, or in another place where you can find them. I would like to say that it was a pleasure reading all of these files, all 96 of them. It was quite enjoyable, and I mean that sincerely. We have a lot of really excellent faculty that are doing a huge variety of really impressive things, both in the classroom, in the area of public service, and in the area of research. We have people who have, I think, given great credit to the university by their performance in various areas, as well as serving students very, very well. So thank you for the opportunity to see all of your accomplishments. I look forward to seeing many more accomplishments in the group of people that will be up for these reviews next year. I have some hope that maybe not quite as many of you will pursue that next year, but I am not too encouraged by what Sally Scripp is telling me, which is that there are actually more people. This is illustrating the fact that our faculty has grown a tremendous amount in the past decade by more than 50% compared with the end of the so-called desert years. So that expansion is yielding the natural dividend that more people are getting promoted and tenured and undergoing our various evaluation reviews, which is really a good thing. In terms of the results, there were a total of nine tenure line faculty up for promotion, which is promotion to professor rank. I counted wrong here. There were 11 people total applying for professor rank. Nine of those were successful. There were 10 research faculty seeking promotion, and this might have been either to associate research professor or to research professor. And out of 10 applicants, nine were successful. There were eight people applying for promotion and tenure in their mandatory year. Of those, seven were successful. There were seven applicants prior to the mandatory year for tenure. All of those were successful. There were four applicants in the mandatory year for tenure, and these were people that were already at associate rank, so they weren't being promoted concurrently. All of those individuals were successful. And then there were three others at associate rank that were applying prior to their mandatory year, and those individuals were successful as well. So overall, for applicants for promotion and tenure, there were 43 candidates, 39 of whom were successful. Three were not successful, and one withdrew their file. With the fourth year reviews, there were a total of 20 individuals reviewed. 15 of those received a satisfactory pre-tenure review. For the other five, their progress was not satisfactory at the point of review. That doesn't mean that their performance is unsatisfactory, a distinction that we try to make in the letters. But what it does mean is that they weren't showing sufficient progress so that we could feel confident they were on the right track toward promotion and tenure in their mandatory year. So they would need to step up their performance in one or more areas in order to have a successful review. And then finally, the six-year comprehensive post-tenure review. There were a total of 33 individuals undergoing that post-tenure review, and 32 of those received a satisfactory post-tenure review. So that's the summary. Are there any questions about those? Obviously, I can't say anything specific about individuals, but any questions about the results? I'd like to add a few quick comments to what Kathy said about the all the publicity surrounding the UAA new status of being a doctoral granting institution. The events that led to that actually started way back in 2005 when we agreed with UAA to offer a joint PhD in clinical community psychology. At that time, although that joint degree was approved through the entire UAF and UAA process and at the Board of Regents, the Northwest Commission denied permission for UAA to participate in the offering of a joint degree. They could participate in collaboration with UAF in offering a UAF degree, but at that stage, they hadn't applied for and been given doctoral granting institution status. So what's happened now is basically the culmination of the events set in motion in 2005 with them completing the application for doctoral granting status with the Northwest Commission on Colleges and Universities and now being able to jointly offer this PhD degree in clinical community psychology. While their doctoral granting status does permit them to apply to the commission to award other doctoral degrees in the future, before they can do that, they would need to get those approved through their own internal process and through the System Academic Council and through the Board of Regents. So they have many steps to go through before they would grant any other doctoral degrees. And as Kathy pointed out, the Academic Master Plan states that their focus should be on offering professional doctorates like the Doctor of Nursing Practice, which are not research doctoral degrees, but rather degrees for an advanced level practitioner in various fields, not only medical fields, but certain other ones. And that's the direction that we anticipate that they're going to go in if they go to awarding additional doctoral degrees. However, of course, we're not gifted with complete vision of the future, so it's not possible to 100% predict what will happen in this, with UAA in the distant future. So are there any questions or concerns about that? Yes?
How does the change affect the Carnegie rankings? For we're at Carnegie 1 for this campus. Is UAA changing from Carnegie 2 A to B or B to A or whatever?
Well, they would become in the category, once they've awarded some doctorates, of what's called a DRU, a doctoral research university. They would have to have a very substantial increase in both research funding and the number of doctoral degrees awarded to become eligible for the next status, which is ours. We're, on the other hand, on the cusp of maybe getting to the highest level. So, but I would be willing to say that it would be much more than a decade before UAA could get above the DRU status, at least at the rate they're progressing. So I don't think we're going to end up in the same category. Any other questions? Okay, one final item, and I'm kind of using a lot of time here, but for important things, I think. We recently discovered that we need to get not only our mission statement as a university, but also our core themes approved by the Board of Regents before we can submit them with our year one accreditation report to the Northwest Commission in August. So this meeting, unfortunately, is our only opportunity to present the UAF core themes that have been now developed by the steering committee, the accreditation steering committee with campus-wide representation. As you know, we've Dana has presented these core themes in several forms to you throughout the year, and so you've seen their development. But this is what we have arrived at after a good bit of deliberation and discussion. Several of these are virtually unchanged from the last time, in particular the prepare and educate theme, and for the most part the engage theme as well. So the two that have changed the most are the research and the connect theme. So the first theme is educate undergraduate and graduate students and lifelong learners. Research to create and disseminate new knowledge, insight, technology, artistic, and scholarly work. Prepare Alaska's career, technical, and professional workforce. Connect Alaska Native, rural, and urban communities by sharing knowledge and ways of knowing. Engage Alaskans through outreach for continuing education and community and economic development. And so I'd be happy to hear any comments or concerns about those four themes. Okay, well now our chancellor has arrived, so I think he has some remarks.
Good afternoon, everyone. I apologize for being a little late. It's harder to get out of downtown Fairbanks now with construction. I was just at a chamber meeting and told them we were going to work to try to match them with the construction going on campus, so it would be just as hard to get into the campus. Since your last meeting, I had the joy of reading all of the promotion and tenure files of faculty, and believe it or not, it is a joy. I don't read every page, but I read all of the self-evaluations and all of the evaluations that go in. And we have some people doing remarkable things. When you have the opportunity, instead of sort of the one-shot press release we see from time to time or announcement, to look at 4, 6, 8 years worth of a career, you really get a sense of what the accomplishment is, how people have modified their teaching in response to their peer evaluations and to the way students are responding to it. The research program that takes time to build and then kind of explodes into a group of journal articles and you see the kind of way we're moving knowledge forward. It really is exciting. And I want to congratulate several senators and acknowledge our new associate professors with tenure. The tenure decision is $1.5 million, $2 million investment that we're saying these people are worth that long-term commitment because of what they offer to the institution, to our students, and to the research. So new associate professors with tenure who are members of the Faculty Senate include Jung-Ho Bach, include Associate Professor Orion Lawler, Associate Professor Karen Jensen, Associate Professor Carrie Baker, Associate Professor Margaret Short, and then with award of tenure, Chung-Sung Ning, all senators, and then three alternates. I want to, for promotion, congratulate Professor Cindy Hardy, Professor Debu Misra, and then one more associate professor with tenure, Brian Rasley. These all join us with tenure or promotion. And I think all deserve a round of applause for their. We also have later on the agenda the Usabelli Awards. And again, I want to express my appreciation to the Usabelli family for what they've done to recognize exceptional teaching, exceptional research, and exceptional service to the university and to our students. A couple of other things, and I don't want to go too long, but effective today, I've made a change in organization. E-learning and distance education at UAF will be reporting to the Office of the Chancellor, effective now, with a new e-learning council with representatives from CRCD, from the Fairbanks campus, and from support offices. What's happened is distance education used to be primarily rurally oriented, but 73% of the credit hours awarded by the Center for Distance Education were Fairbanks campus students, and another roughly 20% of UAF Community and Technical College, and about 7% from the other CRCD units. And so what we're really seeing is this explosion of e-learning into the university as a whole, and I want to find a way that we support our urban students and our rural students who are taking distance courses. I also want to find ways to incentivize schools and departments to offer more in the way of coursework and of complete degree programs. So we will be creating some new incentives, really, to try to get more available, particularly in those areas where what we can offer is different from what others offer, either qualitatively or in areas that are somewhat unique to us at the associate baccalaureate level, potentially master's level as well. Finally, we want to simplify things administratively. Students were dealing with multiple bookstores, both the CRCD bookstore, the UAF online bookstore, and try to simplify that process somewhat. As you may know, Alex Wu, who's been the director of CDE, has accepted a job elsewhere. We'll be searching for an executive director for e-learning and distance ed with the recruitment going out this week. A couple of other quick things. Budget. Both the operating capital budgets have been transmitted to the governor. He's got until the 26th of May to make decisions. If you have the opportunity, particularly for external constituencies, to support any operating budget increments that you care about, please encourage them to do so. We think we're in pretty good shape on the capital budget. He's indicated he doesn't intend to do any significant vetoes to capital. Operating, there hasn't been a clear message, and we did quite well in the legislative process this year. Staff Appreciation Day comes up the Wednesday after commencement. I want to thank, there have been several faculty who have assisted in the recognition of staff. Clearly, our ability to meet the mission depends on a lot of people in addition to faculty, and this is our best chance to recognize them. Finally, just a note on academic calendar. I know there's a revision and a document that's been sent out that shows academic calendars for the next three full academic years. The question of commencement day is still alive, and I would be interested in comments from the Senate over the summer and fall. The suggestion's been made for a couple of years now of moving commencements from Sunday to Saturday. It has an implication for the academic calendar. It has implications for travel, for families visiting, generally positive. And we've had a number of people say that they'd like to have their Sunday free. I'm interested in the views of the Faculty Senate before we make a decision this fall. That would not take effect until the 2014 commencement at the earliest. So we're not in a big rush, but we do want to get the word out relatively early once we make that decision. And with that, I'll answer any questions people have.
In what way are students being assessed what they would like?
Pardon?
In what way are students being assessed what they would like?
We will be asking the same of the ASUAS Senate.
I'm really sad to hear that Alex Wu's leaving. I think he's provided really great leadership for CDE, and I really appreciated his vision for that. Given that he is leaving, I'm hoping that some of the things that he started will continue. So I know, for example, he had been working with the dean of CLA to integrate distance education more with what faculty do on a regular basis, which I think is a great idea, because I think that the two methodologies can really inform each other, and we elevate the level of distance ed. So is it your intention to kind of continue some of those, continue kind of on the same wave that he's been moving CDE?
Yes.
That's great.
And if there's anything we could have done to persuade him to change, we would have.
Yeah, that's sad news.
Any other comments or questions for the Chancellor? Nope. Then we'll go ahead and move on to our Vice Provost and now Interim VPAA.
Thank you. So that was on the top of my agenda was, as you may have heard, I've been named the Interim Vice President for Academic Affairs, and so I am disengaging from some work here and engaging in new work there. One of those, I want to thank Dean Paul Lair, who will go in my stead to the AACU General Education Institute. Seems like an appropriate shift of duties there, so thank you, Paul. I will, the Chancellor and President have agreed that I will continue to work on the Year 1 accreditation report so that that won't fall through the cracks, so I will retain that duty and it will be done in and submitted early this fall. I wanted to let you know I was I chaired the evaluation committee for Brigham Young University, and whenever you go on one of those visits, you learn new things. And I wanted to share this with you and encourage you to think about incorporating it into your own instruction. Much like us, BYU operates in kind of end of semester student assessment of the courses. But they also run a mid-course evaluation. And the mid-course evaluation is very short. It's effectively two questions. It's what's working well and what's not working well in the instruction in this class. Just those two questions, very simple. And they get that feedback. They bring it back to the classroom and have a discussion with the students and make small revisions to what they're doing. And it's having a huge impact on student impression of instruction by the end of the semester because of that. Okay. So I wanted you to think about that, encourage you to consider it in your own teaching, but discuss it with your departments as well. Finally, I want to thank the Senate for the substantial work you've completed this year. It's been a very productive year, a lot of interactions, quite a few motions. You've done great work. In particular, I'd like to thank the Faculty Senate for taking up a look at the products for electronic faculty activity reporting faculty affairs played in that. Thank you, Andrew, and your committee. And the report that we got summarizing your opinion on that is going to be very valuable to us. So thank you very much. Questions for me? Jane. Effectively, what's working well in the class for you and what's not working well in the class for you? You know, is there something as an instructor I could be doing to improve your learning?
Yeah, I think a lot of us are doing that, and I think it's a wonderful thing. I think it's a great thing to talk about.
Just taking the time to do it, very valuable. Thank you, Jane.
Yeah, do we get points if we've been already doing it?
Sure. Here's some points.
Any other questions or comments for Dana? All right. Hearing none, thank you, Dana. That moves us on to the adoption of the consent agenda. We have four items on this agenda. We have the motion to approve the list of 2011-2012 degree candidates submitted by the Administrative Committee. We've got a resolution of appreciation for me submitted by the Administrative Committee. That feels so weird to say that. The resolution for the Outstanding Senator of the Year Award for Dave Valentine, submitted by the Administrative Committee, and the special recognition of Senate service. Do I have a motion to adopt the consent agenda?
So moved.
Do I have a second? Anyone opposed to adopting the consent agenda? Anyone abstaining from adopting the consent agenda? Nope. Then we have adopted the consent agenda, and we will handle this later in the meeting. So that takes us on to new business. First one is a motion to approve a new minor in Geographic Information Systems submitted by Curricular Affairs. And they happen to have six of them here, Reiner?
Four, sorry.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know we were going to three.
What?
Yes, we have four.
We have four of them. So can you take it away?
I would like you all to approve these.
Can we do all four at once?
I would actually like you all to approve them all at once.
Any questions or comments on these particular proposed minors? All right, you guys are going to make this easy. Let's go ahead and vote on items A through D in one fell swoop, given there's no comment on any of the above. So all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Nope, that was nice and easy. On to the next agenda item. The motion to adopt a course syllabus statement requirement for O and O divided by 2 courses submitted by Curricular Affairs and Core Review. Who'd like to take that one forward?
Either way. Reiner,
no,
why don't you? Well,
oh, no, it's just you.
Okay, well, yeah, there are two motions for Core Review. I would copy Reiner's words. I would strongly urge you to adopt them, but I'd like to also open for questions and give a little background. These two motions, neither of them add a single new course requirement. There were some other ideas within Core Review Committee that were rejected because we didn't want to add anything that would be too burdensome. The first motion, E, is essentially asking people who are, have an O designator for their course to explain what they're doing to satisfy that O designator. Now, as you may know, the O designator has different flavors for small groups, medium groups, large groups, and it's quite hard sometimes when we're reviewing to understand, is this class trying to answer those requirements for a large, small, or medium group. So it would ask instructors to make that clear on the syllabus. It's not adding any new requirements, though. Yeah, Cecile?
I'm wondering, if it's for the benefit of the review committee, or the mm-hmm. wouldn't it be much easier to just have a little memo attached to it rather than
Well, it's not as much. It is for the benefit of the review committee, that's true, but even more so it's for the benefit of the instructors. So there's clarity about, and the students, so there's clarity about what they're doing to actually implement some kind of significant oral component.
In some cases, due to curriculum drift over the decades, what was at one time a real honest-to-God O course has drifted into something that's kind of sort of O-ish. And one way to correct that deficiency is if the instructor actually puts down onto the syllabus, these are the requirements for an O course, will help everyone realize either A, this course really isn't cutting the mustard, and hopefully result in some action on the part of the instructor, and or, you know, tell the students, hey, this is a sleazy O course, which might improve the sign-up score, I imagine. Sorry, I didn't mean that last part.
No.
But it really is meant for the students as much as anyone. And frankly, I'm not at all convinced in some cases that instructors who have inherited an O course actually understand what the rules are for O courses.
If nothing else, it'll help instructors understand what they should be doing for the O, which I think in some cases is not the case right now.
As you see your syllabi having more and more information on them, that sort of gets lost if all the things are supposed to be on it. I don't know if that's going to, I mean, I have no strong feelings about it. I just don't know that it's going to fix the problem. Can you use the microphone, please?
Yeah, this is something that everyone should be doing already, and I think in some cases just not being done, this would really add a lot of clarity, I think. And it's fairly minimal. Really, the language, it should take people, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes off to kind of fix.
Any other discussion on E, motion E? Should we go ahead and vote? All right. All those in favor of the motion to adopt a course syllabus statement requirement for O and O2 courses, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, we have one abstention. With that, it passes. And on to F, the motion to amend charge to the core review committee in the Faculty Senate bylaws, Section 3, Article 5, Committee, Subsection E, Permanent 6, Core Review Committee, submitted by Curricular Affairs and Core Review Committees.
This is also something I could speak to. So this is essentially giving Core Review Committee the power to revoke O and W designator after a course failed assessment two times in a row, after March 1st. It's notified that, so it can make it into the catalog. So the soonest that a course would kind of have this revoked would be after failing twice. And after each fail, the instructor and the dean is notified. And then it would have to make it into the catalog as well. So it would generally take two fails and probably, you know, a period of 2 years before it would actually be revoked. The process of getting the O or W restored would be quite quick. The core review committee meets every 2 weeks. And in some cases, it could be, you know, just the next meeting. So we're very aware that we don't want to delay people's graduation because of lacking an O or W. There's a really clear consensus about that. But the problem is really egregious. You know, I've reviewed 8 this term. 3 of them failed. 2 of them failed because there was no syllabus. I won't name names, obviously. One is a senior thesis, and I contacted the professor. He said he just didn't need a syllabus. Another was an actual 300-level course, and he said he didn't really want the syllabus reviewed. He declined to have that happen. So, you know, where there's a small thing, where something is, it should have something mentioned, but it's not, that's a class that's going to pass. It's not going to be hung up on a small detail. It's the kind of egregious things that are failing, you know, 2, 3, 4 times in a row that we'd like to see action taken on. I talked to somebody ahead of time, a couple of people, and they said in the past, O and W's have been revoked. But right now, we're not comfortable doing that without some kind of consensus from Faculty Senate.
Any discussion of this?
I think really the purpose of this is not to eliminate O and W courses, but really to threaten instructors.
We have, there's a carrot, but there's no stick.
That's not much of a carrot.
Ken?
How would this affect the students if one semester is revoked, another semester is put back in, and they're wondering whether they meet the O requirements or not?
It's going to have to be on a year-by-year basis.
I know, and how does that affect go on the transcripts, and how do we effectively communicate this to the students so that they're not in mass confusion?
It truly is an O course if it's in the catalog of an O course. End of story. If it's not in the catalog of an O course, it's not an O course. End of story.
But I could see, what it sounds like is it could be in the catalog, out of the catalog, in the catalog, and depending upon what year the student's taken it, it could be.
I think the hope is that people would respond after the second time they respond. If it came into the catalog and was missing that, you know, that would be communicated for a third time to the instructor. And it can actually be, the O and W can be restored during that semester. So let's say we have...
What's it in the catalog? It's in the catalog.
Well, no, but we've actually had ones that have petitioned. They'd have to petition it.
Okay, so that the student can't petition to have it count as.
Well, no, the instructor can petition. We've had those.
In principle, the catalog is the catalog.
Okay.
You know, it'd be like changing the content of a course midway through a semester.
But we have passed some where. Well, just to allay your fear. Okay, so that's ideally they'd respond to that before it made it into the catalog. But we have had a number of cases this term where someone has petitioned and said, well, this biology class should be a W, it wasn't approved, but I wrote it this way, and we passed it.
I think the point he's making is that they're really trying to bend over backwards. However, there really are recalcitrant instructors that require a stick.
I guess my concern is that it would be the students that could possibly bear the burden of the consequences brought on by this small faculty, and I don't know if that's appropriate.
Agreed. Any other discussion on this motion? All right. Let's go ahead and then take a vote. All those in favor of the motion to amend charge the core review committee, I'm not going to read all the rest of the stuff, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? One abstention. With that, the motion passes. That takes us to motion G, the motion to approve the CLA Art Department unit criteria submitted by a unit criteria committee. Take it away, someone from unit criteria. Yeah, Perry, I think you're stuck.
I defer to my colleague that says, please approve this criteria.
Can I ask for a very minor amendment, but not minor to some people? On page 30, it speaks to the recommendation of the UAF Museum Committee. That should be UA Museum of the North Committee.
Any further discussion on this? How about we vote to approve the amended motion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Any abstentions? Nope, unit criteria passes as amended. That takes us to H, the motion to approve the School of Education unit criteria submitted by Unit Criteria Committee, attachment 18312. Again, Perry, take it away.
Should point out that both these criteria have been through at least three reviews through the committees, so we have duly tortured the units in a perfect fashion. the School of Ed criteria had some additional things that maybe you might consider. One was it had supplementary sets of evaluations for sort of outcomes. That we discussed. There was much more of a effort done for, you know, outcomes assessment, obviously, because of the role of this unit. So apart from that, once we clarified that, it was good to go. So I recommend accepting.
Thank you. Any other discussion on this set of unit criteria? All right. Then let's hold a vote on the motion to approve the School of Education unit criteria. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? Nope, the motion passes. That takes us to item I, the motion to dissolve the Faculty Appeals and Oversight Committee and amend Faculty Senate Bylaws, Section 3, Article 5, Committees, Subsection E, Permanent for Faculty Appeals Oversight Committee, submitted by Faculty Affairs. Andrew, do you want to take that one?
Yes, we were asked to look into this early in the year, and just to be clear, J and K on the agenda are as a result of I, as far as the motion. So after a lengthy period of discovery and inquiry as to the roles and responsibilities and research and historic activities of the Faculty Appeals and Oversight Committee, the Faculty Affairs Committee has recommended that the Appeals and Oversight Committee have its responsibilities reassigned, and thereafter the committee is dissolved. While a number of the tasks that were given to that committee, the Appeals and Oversight Committee, we feel they're important for the Senate to maintain those roles and responsibilities. At the same time, it wasn't necessary to have a 10-member committee in place to execute those roles and responsibilities. But as often the case, they were only they were on an as-needed basis. So what this motion does is reassigns the oversight of administrative reviews to the Administrative Committee, Faculty Senate Administrative Committee. The Faculty Appeals, the United Academic Faculty Appeals Board, the Appeals Board responsibility will go to the Faculty Affairs Committee, and then the Faculty Appeals and Oversight Committee will be dissolved. And as I said in motions J and K, that will address the revisions needed to accommodate motion I for the grade appeals policy, as well as the appeals policy for academic decisions. what was the role of the Appeals Oversight Committee has been changed. So, in the details, there was.
All right, any discussion? Dave?
Just a point of order. Would it be useful to lump all three of these motions in, together and then vote on them in toto?
That was actually what I was going to recommend, is that we vote in toto. Because if I does not pass, J and K become moot. So any discussion about this motion or these motions? Then let's go ahead and vote on items I through K as a whole. All those in favor of changing the Faculty Senate bylaws to dissolve the Faculty Appeals and Oversight Committee, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? The motion's passed. That takes us to the resolution on Complete College America submitted by the Administrative Committee. Jennifer, do you want to do that one?
All right. We began this discussion last meeting and continued through the Google discussion board, and there has been some discussion about the details of this motion. Let me back up and say that the motion was originally written by several groups, the Curricular Affairs Committee, the Student Academic Development and Achievement Committee, and members of the Administrative Committee as well. So it's had many eyes on it, and we've invited you all to comment or make suggestions. I will note that there is one more correction we need to make. In the second line of this motion, or of this resolution, it says the UAF Faculty Senate urges the Alaska State Legislature and the administration of UA. This should say the Alaska State Legislature.
The Alaskan governor.
The governor's office. And the administration of the University of Alaska, because Governor Parnell's office is centrally involved in this discussion, and it was just an accident that we've left that out. So this resolution states, and I'll read the detailed part of it so that everyone's clear on what we're saying. The UAF Faculty Senate respects the goals of, but nevertheless rejects joining Complete College America. Instead, the UAF Faculty Senate urges the Alaska State Legislature, the Governor's Office, and the administration of the University of Alaska to support and encourage programs that recognize Alaska's considerable regional diversity and are tailored to address the goals of Alaska's students, rather than to bind Alaska to a rigid set of one-size-fits-all national education rules. Our best strategy is to provide support, preparation, and access to programs and degrees without any real or implied penalty for length of time to degree completion and without compromising the quality of our programs or individual classes. And following this, there are another three pages or so of detail, background, and explanation of our position. Is there any discussion on this?
All right, hearing none, shall we go ahead and vote to approve the resolution on Complete College America? So with that, all in favor of this resolution, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Any abstentions? Nope. With that, it passes, and we'll take it on to Faculty Alliance. We actually are ahead of time on the break, believe it or not. Now, there was a joke during the last Administrative Committee meeting about my needing to bring chocolate, and only if I brought enough to share. So we have chocolate.
Okay, what about those of us online?
We'll have to mail you some.
Okay.
Virtual chocolate.
This is supposed to be a face-to-face.
So during your break, help yourself to the cookies, juice, coffee that Jane has provided for all of us, and come up and help yourself to the chocolate. With that, let's go ahead and meet at 2:10.
Okay.
was thinking, when are you back?
End of May.
Oh, the end of May. Okay. I was hoping you were going to be back before then, and we could do it before. Well, it's okay. We'll do it in the fall.
Are you here during summer?
On and off. And I'm not sure when. I mean, I know sometimes, but my mom is in the hospital right now, so it's like I might have to go next week. We're trying to talk to her. She's living alone. Canada, cheap, right?
Oh, no.
It's not moving her. No, my sister's there. My sister's here. So, you know, she has family there. But, so I might have to go and
the minor and failing.
I
I wonder why were there so many right now?
But it will go in the catalog.
Yeah.
I'll never see it.
I wonder why there's.
That's
true. That's something that's kind of a self inflicted vulnerability about. Why were there so many new miners?
I'm pretty good experience. I taught at a private university.
Financing the exhibition.
governance. That's a, that's probably a she could be doing something next year, but I think they'll probably do that.
We've been asked. We haven't heard those yet.
All right. Round them up.
I'll bang the gavel. I've been kind of going scaffoldless.
All right, everybody. Thank you, Jane, for getting us. All right. So, this brings us to the discussion item, the ad hoc committee's report on the EFAR software. Jennifer, take it away.
Right. As you'll recall, at our last meeting, it was decided that Faculty Senate would form an ad hoc committee to review and make recommendations on the two software packages that were up for discussion. Those two were Faculty 180 and Activity Insight. And what you have in your agenda here is the report that committee wrote. This is an information item, and we welcome any discussion of it. So this is information to you about what has been recommended to the Provost's Office. It will now be the decision of the University Administration whether to move forward with one of these. Briefly, the recommendation of the committee was that there was a strong preference for the Faculty 180 software. There was significant opposition to the Activity Insight software, and that second choice turned out to be our current system that uses a Word-based document. I was pleased to see the characteristics of the Faculty 180 software, that it is designed by faculty and it does appear to the committee to be something we could work with. Any discussion on this? Yeah, Elizabeth.
Whatever happened to that third software option?
It's called Research in View, and it is still a topic of discussion. We had, as you know, a demonstration that was attended by 5 or 6 faculty, and I've collected assessments of that. There will be a meeting tomorrow between Kathy and me, Eric Madsen, Dana Thomas, to discuss that one. Briefly, the faculty assessments of that were that it was a distant second to Faculty 180, but that it came in second in front of Activity Insight. It certainly was better than the Activity Insight software. So that's the very brief version.
And then is the next step to have a small group of faculty actually test out Faculty 180?
If the Provost's Office decides to go ahead with this, then there would be a pilot test at UAF with, let Susan describe that, if you will.
We're fairly early in planning the real specifics of that because we were waiting for the Senate's report to reach us and see what information that contains. But yes, it's only prudent for us to have a smaller group to start off with logistically and in a variety of other ways. So what we anticipate is probably picking two units next year to participate using the Faculty 180 software. Others probably will have the option to use it if they choose, but won't be compelled to. And then we'll get a lot better information on the ins and outs and be better positioned to help the faculty as a whole use the software easily and without too many doubts.
I'd like to remark that I've been involved in this effort to look at electronic faculty activity report software since 2008 when the first round of tests with the digital measure software was done. And I'm relieved and pleased to see how much better the situation looks now with the software we're looking at now. And I think we're moving in a good direction with this. And I'm also appreciative that the university listened to the faculty's assessments of the earlier version and this one and has asked us for our input this time. Any more discussion?
Nope, I guess that takes us to public comments. Do we have folks who would like to address the Senate?
Thank you. This is Linda Hapsmith from the Academic Advising Center. In the fall, I'm going to be talking to you all about a program that just went live a couple of weeks ago on UA Online. It is a banner advising appointment screen system, so academic advisors will be able to set up their own appointments with students on UA Online. You'll be able to enter information about the appointment. You can do this if it's a phone appointment, an email appointment, an in-person appointment that's scheduled, if it's a walk-in. If you have a center like our center where you have admins set up the appointments for you, admins can set up these appointments for you, but not on UA Online. They will have to use banners. And our office has been experimenting with this and using this last couple of weeks, and frankly, we think it's quite fantastic. There's still a few things need to be worked out, but for a first-generation program, it seems to be working quite well. So I'll be giving a demo in the fall. I know some of you have already heard about this. I know the College of Liberal Arts department chairs have discussed this program and decided to adopt it in the fall. But I encourage you to take a look at UA Online. You need to have advisor access, and you'll see the screens in the advisor menu of UA Online. You also need FERPA certification, and that needs to be updated annually now. So this is a new requirement. So you update it once a year, and you receive the form through Crystal Gula in the Office of Admissions and Registrar. I have all the information about that. If you want to, you can get you can contact me at lhapsmith@alaska.edu, and I can send you that information. I also have cheat sheets, because this program is not only for UAF, it's also for UAA and UAF. And so the list of colleges and departments is quite long, and you may think that chemistry would be for us, but it's not. It's for UAA. Chemistry and biochemistry is the name of our department, for UAF. And so you need to go with what your department is exactly called, or else you may get UAA numbers instead. The other wonderful thing about this is you can pull reports. On the back, though, I do have a handout of another program that you can use if you're going to be contacting students, particularly over the phone. For those of you who are advising in the summer, a lot of our summer appointments are over the phone. It's something called Google Talk. So at UAF, you can use Google Talk, which is a program through your webmail system, and it's free. And you can dial any number in the United States. And I'm not clear about Canada. I'm not sure about
that.
Yes, Canada. Yay for Canada. And it's free. And so I have this handout that's on the back table that you can pick up on how to get that information. But basically, you have a headphone, a microphone, and you call the student, and it can go to their landline. They don't have to be on a computer. So this is different than Skype. Okay. But it also is working very well, and for us, it eliminates a lot of our long-distance phone charges, which is quite large amount. So thank you for letting me say this.
Thank you. Any questions for Linda? Nope. Then make sure you grab those sheets on the back table. Barbara, I think you're up.
Hi, I'm Barbara Taylor, Director of Office of Undergraduate Research and Scholarly Activity. During the break, I dropped off the little flyers about job and research fair at each of your spots. It happens early enough in the fall semester that the only way to really give people adequate advance notice is to start now because so many people are off contract during the summer. So last year was the first year that the job and research fair were combined. Career Services has run a job fair for a number of years, and research fair had come on for the last 2 years. But it was a very successful enterprise last year to put the two together. It was specifically complemented in the accreditation report. So we just wanted to let people know that it's coming up on September 5th and 6th, and to reserve a table. A department, institute, group, you know, anyone who wants to reserve a table needs to register at the Career Connect portal, which is operated out of the Career Services office. That's it. Any questions?
Thanks. Nope.
Thank you very much. Anyone else here for public comment? Nope, then that goes ahead and moves us on to the governance report. For staff council, is anyone here for staff council? Nope, they're busy doing important stuff. ASUAF? Taking exams. United Academics, Melanie, I see you're here.
I'm here. To report to you, the Representative Assembly met on April 21st here in Fairbanks. It's one of three meetings that we have annually, and talked about our budget and what priorities will be for the upcoming year. Our contract ends in December 2013, so in the next year we're going to be preparing for the next negotiating process. Like there's that little one-year window in the middle where we're going, but that's coming up. Also be looking out for, if this is an area of interest for you, you should be issuing an RFP, not sure when, for faculty research to look into our healthcare cost problem. We discussed that we have a number of faculty statewide who have expertise in these things, and we'd like to support them and see if we can bring that to bear more directly on our healthcare cost situation. The executive board meets this Wednesday, May 9th, in the United Academics office. Those meetings are always, or generally, open to members if you have an interest. Sorry, I thought I could hear myself on the microphone. There's also a general membership meeting this Thursday, May 10th, from 3 to 5 p.m. here in Woods Center, C&D. And that's about the healthcare issue. I know that's what I'm always talking about, but it's a major concern for our members. And this last meeting is a response to feedback that we've had from some of you and others on the faculty who would like to see a plan of action be in place. And so the idea is that we'd like members to come and talk with us about what you want to see happen. What you're willing to do, what kinds of sacrifices might be acceptable if we have to sacrifice something to get something else, those kinds of things. So I know that we're all really busy this week, but a lot of things may be decided through the summer months, and so this is sort of our last moment to communicate as faculty about where our priorities should be there.
All right. Thank you. Any questions for Melanie?
Where will it be? Wood Center C&D, 3 p.m., May 10th. Yeah.
All right. Any other questions or comments? No, then we have Jane here for UAFT. Okay, so nothing to report. All right. That then takes us on to members' comments, questions, announcements. All right, committee chairs, now is your opportunity. Anything we need to know? Yeah. All right. And we've got a lot of the summaries attached here, but when I call your committee, if there's something you really want us to know, please let us know. So start with Curricular Affairs, Reiner.
Going to be here next year. We got some really cool stuff coming up for you.
Faculty Affairs, Andrew.
Yes, earlier in the year, Barbara Taylor and Vice Provost Thomas approached us to describe some revisions to the annual activities report and to get our feedback on that. The revisions, and unfortunately, I've written a memo about the results of those meetings, and it's not attached here, but I understand it'll be attached in the Faculty Affairs Committee year-end report. But what it boiled down to was there were fields to where the faculty could indicate undergraduate mentorship in creative activities, including research, and that was the gist of the change. The first meeting turned into pretty much a working session with Barbara Taylor and Vice Provost Thomas, and we had a number of the Faculty Affairs Committee had a number of ideas that we wanted incorporated, changes we wanted incorporated. Those were all the annual activities report form was revised again. All the changes were picked up, and the Faculty Affairs Committee was comfortable with the new changes and acknowledged the fact that faculty should be recognized for mentorship of undergraduates in creative activities.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions?
I'll just note that the form will be posted on the Faculty Senate website soon. There's one more discussion with Dana Thomas and Barbara Taylor to finalize some slight modifications that the Administrative Committee asked for.
All right. Unit criteria, Perry.
Nothing much to add to the annual report except I recommend that if your unit is revising the criteria documents, it might be useful to invite a member of the committee to have a preliminary discussion of what the goals are for the revision. And that should expedite the series of revisions we have and reduce some of the frustration that units have. So if you're doing one, please invite the committee to talk to you.
Good advice. Everybody take that one home to your department. Any other questions or comments for Perry? Nope. That takes us to Committee on the Status of Women. Jane.
Nothing to add.
Okay. Someone willing to speak for core review?
Nothing further.
Okay. Curriculum review? You love every moment of it, Reiner.
We're almost done. This year's the middle, and we certainly intend to be done by the end of the week.
Any other questions or comments? Nope. Faculty appeals and oversight. We have just eliminated. So. Dave, appreciate it. We made you a shorter agenda for you. Faculty development, assessment, and improvement. Joseph, I saw that you were here.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add?
The response to all assessment, I have something to add.
Okay. GAC, Orion.
We had a really weird idea that I'd just like to share and get your answer. There are a lot of situations where some department will do something either really stupid or something really awesome, and we would like to publicize this. So, for example, if somebody's unwilling to give you a syllabus for their O course, for example, this is a situation where you say, well, gosh, there should be some way that we can say, hey, these guys are being really dumb. right? and with the intent that hopefully they will stop being dumb, right? And similarly, there are situations where people do awesome things. So one option would be to have each committee have a, so we were saying, why don't we have a GAC badge of shame, right? So you could be nominated for a badge of shame in graduate student neglect, for example. Or you could be nominated for a GAC, the Outstanding Graduate Mentor Award, right? So some, I mean, this is an easy sort of informal way to say, hey, this is one particular thing that's working really well, this is one particular thing that's really not working well. It would definitely take sort of political courage to actually award a badge of shame this year. But there are definitely, I mean, I can think of a couple departments that could be nominated for in these things. And I mean, just the again, this would be a situation like removing W's or O's, where just the option of being able to award a badge of shame would be, say, we're considering nominations for the badge of shame this year, and you're on our short list for this particular. Just wondering if you'd like to, you know, help us prepare our file for that.
And given that you're the computer science professor, you can hack the websites and add the badge of shame.
The badges of shame could be posted online, right? Would be, you know, you'd have to pick one department that was really recalcitrant and you'd use this as a club. It would be an interesting option for you guys to consider when really good things or really bad things. So that's submitted for consideration. That would be excellent, yeah, and great little...
All right, any questions or comments for Ryan? All right, then on to Sada. Cindy.
We had an interesting year. We spent a lot of time in some pretty lively discussions. We were sort of trying to get a handle on, now that we've passed mandatory placement and we're dealing with the repercussions, where do we go from there? What kinds of initiatives can we come up with? We did a couple of things besides the working on the Complete College America resolution. We recently had a brown bag lunch with faculty and veterans. It was an interesting discussion, brought up a lot of areas to think about that had never occurred to me. And one thing we're considering for next year is doing two more student-faculty brown bags. We have a list. We've generated a list of topics that will take us through about 3 years. So I think we're going to pursue that. We had a meeting with Dana Thomas. He brought some data that he was looking at, and he brought some initiatives he'd like us to pursue. So hopefully next year we'll be passing motions.
Cool. Any comments or questions for Cindy? That takes us to RAC. Peter and Orion, who would like to go for that one?
Definitely Peter. Report attached, nothing to add. Event support and divided up on topics that we were involved with over the year, but nothing more to add.
Okay, any questions or comments for Orion or Peter? All right, that takes us to other comments. Anyone else have something they would like to say? Go for it, Paul.
Speaking as a dean, I don't know if I want badges of shame in my college, but I'll work to do that. But that brings up a point that oftentimes deans don't look at reports to the Senate committees. We often don't know what's being discussed in terms of problems that might come up. And so if there are things that might relate to specific schools or colleges, it would be good for the chairs to sort of let the dean, give the dean a heads up to say, this is coming through, this could be a problem, can you help me? Reiner does that with me quite a bit. And with other deans, I'm sure, when he sees them coming up. But it would be good for committee chairs to take a look at something that might impact School of Ed or College of Liberal Arts, something like that, and just give that dean a heads up if there's some problem that we can head off so that we can avoid badges of shame and things like that, because potentially we want to. But we often don't see what's kind of going on out of the Senate.
But who are in contact with the grad schools?
Oh, yeah, for regard to GAC, the grad school dean does give me feedback, but I don't talk to the senators in my college, and so I don't get feedback on what might be going on in committees in the Senate. So.
Where the badge of fame came in was more that there are certain schools that don't know how many grad students or what grad students they have, and they fall off the radar.
It's important to know, and if you could identify that there were departments in my college, I would like to know that now. I don't want to wait to read about it in the news minor, you know. I would definitely want to know that so I can address it quickly as well. As dean, you know, we're responsible for the administration of our college, our degree programs, and so therefore it's something I would like to be able to react on. So just as a heads up to chairs of committees that if there are some issues that come up that might be specific to one or more colleges, just let the dean know that this is something that's being discussed. Thank you.
Any other comments? Well, I'm going to throw one in here. I want to once again say thank you to Jane Harvey for heroic efforts during this year. So, having Jane as your admin is one of the great perks of Faculty Senate leadership. That takes us to award presentations and announcements. So we'll start with A, presentation of Outstanding Senator of the Year Award, David Valentine. And I will read the resolution here. Outstanding Senator of the Year Award for academic year 2012. Whereas David Valentine has served the university in the UAF Faculty Senate for 4 years at UAF, and whereas David Valentine has served as Senator to the UAF Faculty Senate from 2010 through 2012, and whereas David Valentine served on the Curricular Affairs Committee from 2010 to the present year, during which no less than 24 motions were passed and brought before Faculty Senate, and whereas David Valentine has distinguished himself as an active and engaged colleague in the UAF Faculty Senate, particularly with regard for the needs to revitalize the university core curriculum, and whereas David Valentine has worked tirelessly to further the work of the General Education Revitalization Committee, GERC, and was instrumental through his efforts on the Curricular Affairs Committee in the formation of the GERC, chairing GERC in 2010 to 2011, and helping to find a chair for that committee in 2011-2012. And whereas David Valentine has not only been an active participant in committee meetings, but has listened to his colleagues and treated all ideas and perspectives with respect, even when he has respectfully disagreed. And whereas David Valentine has brought wit, humor, and perspective to the committee discussions while simultaneously fighting to uphold the highest possible academic standards at UAF. And whereas David Valentine has demonstrated sharp insight and made valuable contributions to many discussions of the Faculty Senate that have far-reaching implications for faculty and students and the direction of the university programs, now therefore be it resolved that the UAF Faculty Senate recognizes David Valentine as Outstanding Senator of the Year for the academic year 2011-2012. That brings us to the announcement of the Uzabelli Award. Attachment 18324. Susan, did you want to do that one?
Sure, it would be my honor. So the Uzabelli Award winner this year for teaching is Dr. Devendra Das of the Mechanical Engineering Program. The Uzabelli Awardee for research is Sergei Avdonin of the Mathematics, Professor of Mathematics, the Department of Mathematics and CNSM. And last but not least, the awardee for service is Kenji Yoshikawa, who is a research professor with the Institute of Northern Engineering Water and Environmental Research Center. All three very worthy awardees, tremendous accomplishments. And there were also many other individuals who were nominated who were very impressive individuals as well. The committee said it to me in particular that it was a very difficult decision this year to decide who the awardees were.
So let's give the Uzabelli Award winners a round of applause.
I believe they've sent out specific invitations because it's a somewhat people-limited venue in the museum. But certainly individuals that were friends and department members and unit members of the awardees, I believe, were all invited.
And all senators, I've just heard from Jane, have been invited. The ceremony is tomorrow at 5:30 at the Museum of the North. So feel free to come and congratulate your coworkers on their success and achievement. And, of course, we'll also be recognizing emeriti at that reception. So come and terrorize your favorite emeriti. And that brings us to the announcement of the Emeriti Faculty Awards.
Here I need my list.
I've got the list.
I have those MRI. Okay, the Emeritus Awardees this year are Clara Anderson, who is a Chancellor's Awardee as Administrator, Director of Interior Aleutians Campus Emerita, and then faculty members David Blurton, Professor of Justice Emeritus, Charlie Dexter, Professor of Applied Business Emeritus, Ralph Gabrielli, Associate Professor of Rural Development Emeritus, Anthony Garrett, Professor of Fisheries Emeritus, Thomas Johns, Professor of Extension Emeritus, John Keller, Professor of Chemistry Emeritus, Jeffrey Lear, Professor of Alaska Native Languages and Linguistics Emeritus, Deborah Moses, Associate Professor of Developmental Mathematics Emeritus, John Poole, or Jake Poole as he's more familiarly known, also a Chancellor's pick, for Vice Chancellor of University Advancement Emeritus, Larry Roberts, Associate Professor of Justice Emeritus, and Diane Roos, Associate Professor of Library Science Emeritus.
Let's congratulate all of our emeriti. That takes us to the next order of business, which is the flip pages. Recognition of Senate service. So all those of you who are chairs of your committees, prepared to get up. So we'll go ahead and read your name, come on up, shake some hands, get your certificate. So we're going to start with Melanie Arthur. We have a certificate here for you for exemplary service as UNAC representative to the UAF Faculty Senate 2011-2012. I'm just going to stay standing here. Our next one is for Perry Barbosa. For exemplary service to the UAF Faculty Senate as Chair of the Unit Criteria Committee. And is Alex here? Alex Fitz. Nope. Exemplary service to the Faculty Senate as the Chair of the General Education Revitalization Committee. Thank you, Alex. Joseph. Joseph Loa as exemplary service to the UAF Faculty Senate as Chair of the Faculty Development, Assessment, and Improvement Committee. Cindy Hardy. Recognition for exemplary service to the UAF Faculty Senate as Chair of the Student Academic Development and Achievement Committee. I don't see Latrice here. Latrice Laughlin for exemplary service to the UAF Faculty Senate as Chair of the Core Review Committee. Ryan has two certificates. Exemplary service to the UAF Faculty Senate as Chair of the Graduate Academic Advisory Committee. And another speaker I find too. Exemplary service to the UAF Faculty Senate as the co-chair of the Research Advisory Committee. Andrew Metzger. For excellent service to the UAF Faculty Senate as the Chair of the Faculty Affairs Committee. Reiner, another case of two. Exemplary service to the UAF Faculty Senate as chair of the Curricular Affairs Committee, and exemplary service to the UAF Faculty Senate as chair of the Curriculum Review Committee for the eighth year in a row. And again, pink for his name. Shane Weber, for exemplary service to the UAF Faculty Senate as chair of the Committee on the Status of Women. And last but not least, Peter Webley. In recognition of exemplary service to the UAF Faculty Senate as chair of the Research Advisory Committee. And that brings us to the end of the recognition of Senate service.
I'm going to sit down because I can't reach the microphone. The next award is to Dr. Catherine Cahill. This is a recognition of service by Catherine Cahill. Whereas Catherine Cahill has served the UAF Faculty Senate for 9 years in a manner deserving of the UAF Faculty Senate's highest admiration and respect, and whereas Catherine Cahill created a positive atmosphere for participation by UAF faculty in shared governance of the university, and whereas Catherine Cahill served as Senator to the UAF Faculty Senate from 2004-05 through 2006-07 and again during 2008-09, and whereas Catherine Cahill served on the Graduate Academic and Advisory Committee as a member in 2004-05 and as Chair in 2005-06 and 2006-07, and whereas Catherine Cahill served as Chair of the Faculty Affairs Committee in 2008-09, and whereas Catherine Cahill served on the Faculty Senate Administrative Committee as a member from 2004-05 through 2006-07 and again in 2008-09, and served as chair in 2009-10 and 2010-11, which is twice as long as anyone in UAF Faculty Senate history, and whereas Catherine Cahill served as member of the UAF Governance Coordinating Committee from 2009-10 through 2011-2012, and whereas Catherine Cahill served as president-elect of the UAF Faculty Senate in 2009-2010 and 2010-11, twice as long as anyone in Faculty Senate history, and whereas Catherine Cahill served as president of the UAF Faculty Senate in 2011-12 with clear vision, distinguished dedication, and unflagging commitment, and whereas Catherine Cahill effectively advocated for UAF faculty and programs as a member of the UA Faculty Alliance from 2009-2010 through 2011-12, notably with regard to the Academic Master Plan and the Tuition Task Force, and whereas Catherine Cahill worked strategically and effectively on behalf of UAF faculty on the Statewide Academic Council and Statewide Governance Council in 2011-12, and whereas the UAF Faculty Senate wishes to acknowledge the truly outstanding service rendered the faculty and the university by the work of Catherine Cahill as she concludes her term as president now. Therefore, be it resolved that the UAF Faculty Senate acknowledges the many contributions of Catherine Cahill and expresses its appreciation for her exemplary service. Hooray!
I would just like to say what a pleasure it has been serving with all of you. I know there are times you wanted to strangle me, but this is a great group to work with. You have been a wonderful Senate to participate with. You've been active. You've been engaged. It's been fabulous. So thank you all, and I'm not completely disappearing. I am chairing Faculty Alliance next year, so you will still have some interactions with me. I'm sorry. So that brings us to the adjournment for the 2011-2012 Faculty Senate. So with my last gavel, thank you all.
And those of you who are on the 2012-13 Faculty Senate, please stick around.
And I want everyone to notice it was early.
little bit. Like
Thank you.
It works. I would like to call this first meeting of the Faculty Senate to order. This is the Faculty Senate for 2012-13. I am Jennifer Reynolds. I'm the new president of this Senate. I was president-elect last year, so you all should be familiar with me. And we first have the roll call of members. Jane.
Okay, I'm going to turn on the recording here real quick. Thank you. Abramovich.
Present.
Okay. Albertson.
Present.
Alexia.
Georgina Gibson serving as his alternate.
Thank you. Linda Padgett.
Present.
Bret Hart. Brown.
Present with alternate.
Okay, is that Julie?
Yes, Tanto? It is.
C, or, yeah, C. Vincent. Chambers. Cook. Christine Cook. Davis.
Here.
Fallon.
Here.
Focisato. George Bettisworth.
Here.
Golux. Gustafson.
Here.
Hardy. Here. Healy.
Here.
Henry.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Johnston.
Here.
Jolie. Larden.
Here.
Lawler.
Here.
Marr.
Here.
Mathis. McCackern. Metzger.
Here.
Meyer. Nadine.
Here.
Newberry.
Here.
Chung Sang. Radenboe. Reynolds.
Here.
Short.
Here.
Valentine.
Here.
Weber.
Here.
And Winfrey.
Here.
Windsor.
Here.
Yari.
Glenn Drudice serving as alternate.
Thank you. All right. Thank you.
All right, so first of all, welcome everyone. We have 8 new members out of 36 who are elected to this body, and we have 9 new alternates. you have a list of the new faculty senate so far in your agenda. A few of the selections from different schools and colleges are still pending, but it amounts to, I think, three seats right now. So this will be updated as soon as possible and posted on the Faculty and Senate website. You also see a list of committee assignments so far. There will be a few more. And if anyone has questions about these, please contact me. The final list that will be posted on the website will have a listing of a convener or a chair next to each one, and that will be the person assigned to set up the first meeting of the committee in the fall, to convene the first meeting. At that meeting, the committee is expected to elect a formal chair. So the assignment of someone, or the designation of someone as chair or convener, does not mean that that person continues next year as such. It just means that they run the first meeting. And we will have an orientation meeting for new senators in early September. This is just a brown bag lunch usually, and it's intended to explain to you how the Senate works, how to get things done, what to do in case of X, Y, or Z, and what are you expected to do as a senator. So that is usually in September, but after the first meeting, because our first meeting is as soon as possible, right after Labor Day. This year the meeting is on, September 10th. Yes, we pushed it forward a week to give everyone time to get started in the beginning of the semester. All right, any questions for me? I'll pass the microphone over to our new president-elect, David Valentine.
I'm going to keep this real brief. I look forward to serving this next year and trying to give us as strong a voice as we can in the governance of UAS. And please feel free to contact me, email, whatever, for any concerns that you have. Thanks.
Provost Hendricks is not in the room. If she returns, we will ask her to speak to you all. So we move on to new Senate business. We have two items here. A, motion to approve the 2012-2013 UAF Faculty Senate meeting calendar submitted by the Administrative Committee. This is attachment 27 in your agenda. It's one page long. Is there any discussion of this calendar? Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All right. All those in favor of approving this calendar, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, say nay. All right, calendar is adopted. And new Senate business B, motion to authorize the Administrative Committee to act on behalf of the Senate during the summer months, submitted by the Administrative Committee, attachment 28. This is something the Senate does every year, and the reason is that many of the faculty are off contract in the summer and the Senate doesn't meet during the summer. So in order to have a group of faculty who can deal with issues brought forward by the administration or anything else that arises suddenly and has to be dealt with during the summer, the Administrative Committee is designated as to act on behalf of the Faculty Senate. The Administrative Committee, by the way, for new members, is composed of the chairs of all of the Faculty Senate committees. Is there any discussion of this? No? All right. Do I hear a motion for a vote?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of authorizing the Administrative Committee to act on behalf of the Senate during the summer months, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion carries. Are there any comments? We have successfully concluded the business of the year. Thank you very much. We are adjourned.
Please take cookies.
right.
All right.
Yeah.
Working, so,
okay, I'll leave.
Yeah.
Her parents only grandchildren.
It was on. I looked at the one online, but it doesn't have a list of like what our new committee
was. It wasn't much.
Are we done, or do I still have to wait for this?
How long have you had
this? Because I was like, okay, well, I came in at 3, and we're pretty much done.
Yeah.
Joined us online.
This is Izetta Chambers here. I just joined.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you clearly. Repeat.
This is Izetta Chambers.
Oh, hi, Izetta.
Hi.
We actually were able to start the meeting really early and have actually concluded, but I will put you down as on the roll.
Okay. I missed the meeting then? The new Faculty Senate was supposed to be seated at 3:10.
That's correct. And the old Faculty Senate just went through their agenda like the room was on fire. And they actually adjourned early. There was a quorum present, so the new Senate proceeded. So apologies on that. It's hard to predict sometimes if they'll take more time or less time. I will be working on minutes, and I'll let you be sure to include you with the distribution of that.
Okay. Is there? Could you let me know well in advance when the next meeting will be and if it is going to be early again like that?
The next meeting, we won't have this same problem. It'll be September 10th at 1 p.m.,
okay.
And that calendar was actually approved today, and and so you can find a copy of it in the agenda.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Bye. Anybody else online that needs to let me know they were there? Okay.
But, you know, if Council is going to be in the kitchen, they'll be there. I don't think you want to put them in there.
Yeah.
I think we're seeing Madam President. You're trudging up the hill there. Well, with David, keep going, right? It's going to be you and Dave.